Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. I'm Bill, and that's Wendy.
Good morning.
Hi, Wendy.
Can I just say I saw a promo for something I want to attend?
And what is it?
It's Weather Day with Tom Skilling at Sox Park.
Oh, wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, my God.
He's done this in the past.
I want to go April 26th.
Why wouldn't you go?
Is he going to throw out the first pitch? And dress as a cumulonimbus cloud?
He actually throws out a lightning rod. It's weird.
Oh.
Like a javelin.
Way to go.
Damn your eyes. I don't want anyone to get hurt by this. As I hurl it toward you.
Right up the middle.
Right. Right. I know he's done it at least the last couple of years.
God love him.
And yeah, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
You should go to that.
Why wouldn't you go?
I'm going to try and get tickets.
It would be perfect for you. Welcome to the show. If you want to jump in, if you want to call in or text in, 312-981-7200. We're already getting texts. The show is just a minute old. Here's one that I enjoy particularly. It says, this is from the 708 area code, not everybody who lives there, but one person in particular. Howard Sprague loved going to symposiums. Yes, he did. And we kept our streak alive by mentioning Howard Sprague.
He'd bring Emmett, wouldn't he?
Yeah. Emmett, you know what's going on there in Mount Pilot as a symposium?
That is Kermit.
They're very similar in voice.
I guess.
They're almost the same in voice.
I guess you're right.
He pre-Kermited Kermit.
Oh, right? Ange. That's my Howard.
That was a scary voice. Now I'm frightened.
That was a Katherine Hepburn.
Howard Sprague's voice was deep in here. It is very Kermity.
I got to hear some Howard Sprague.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? Yeah, it's almost the same voice.
I heard a little Johnny Carson in there, too.
Just a little. Yep.
Who needs Michael Winslow or Fred Travellino when we have a Bill left?
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. On to a serious topic, if we may. We just had a short discussion, Steve and myself, prior to the show, about a guy named Sean Spicer. Are you aware of Sean Spicer?
I say he quits by the end of the day.
All right. That's part of what our discussion was, because
I think what he said,
for people who don't know, Sean Spicer made a very strange comparison of Adolf Hitler and Assad.
Can I just ask one thing?
Yes.
Why does anyone with a microphone in front of themselves bring up Hitler?
Well, he doesn't just have a microphone in front of him. He's the press guy for the President of the United States, and all the world is watching.
Everybody's
really
watching the Sean Spicer show.
Yeah.
Here's something I told my kids, because one of them is in eighth grade and learning about the Holocaust.
Yes.
And it's like, I wouldn't even ever mention Hitler's name, even in class.
There's this saying that says, the first to mention Adolf Hitler loses, which means if you're having a discussion about anything and you bring Adolf Hitler's name into it, more times than not, you're not going to win that discussion. And Sean Spicer kind of proved that yesterday.
In his apology, and this is just something of my sister nitpicking about our use of pronouns and proper English, which she criticizes me, but she criticizes you by telling me.
Oh, all right.
Like, you guys just don't know anything about your pronouns. Whatever. Sean Spicer apologized and said, I shouldn't have done it. Shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
I know he shouldn't have when you use the apostrophe, but it's not, I shouldn't have said it. That's incorrect English.
Well,
he wants to
thank you for focusing on that, because
that's the
smallest mistake he made yesterday.
Even the member of the press who called him out on it, he kept thanking profusely, you know, as he tried to clarify what his intentions were and what his meaning was. Now, Steve, you took an interesting stance with him. You said at this point you almost feel sorry for him, right?
I just feel like, you know, and he's brought on a lot of it himself. I'm not saying he hasn't.
Sure.
I just feel like right now the job is, he's not up to the job. And, you know, I almost have some sympathy for him. I mean, yesterday you could tell that he knew he was in trouble and he couldn't talk himself out of it and he couldn't quite think himself out of it and he just made it worse. I have a little, I know it's crazy, but I do. I feel like he's over his head, and I feel kind of bad for him.
I kind of agree.
Do you 100%. Also feel sorry for him?
Here's why, and we talked about this before. I said, why would anyone take that job? And you both said it's a promotion.
It's a huge job.
It is a great job.
Not one I could do, I'll tell you that.
But it's not one many can do, and you know, it's one of those jobs you can't say no to.
Yeah.
And I do feel a little sorry for him because after the Melissa McCarthy thing came out, I was mad at him. It's like, just roll
with it. Have a
sense
of humor about it.
Yes. Yeah. But then it's like, after that happened, I started feeling really, really sorry for him. It's like having to defend all the crazy stuff that's going on in the White House right now has got to take a toll on you.
Yeah, but he's a big boy. And
I know.
He showed up for work today, you know. I mean, if he's not up to it or if he doesn't want to make that defense, he could resign, too. So, I mean, I'm not saying he's not responsible for it. I just feel like he's...
Who calls him in at some point today and says, not the best day yesterday, Sean? How do we not have that happen again?
Jared Kushner.
Is it Jared Kushner?
No, it would probably be Reince Priebus or the president. But, you know, and then he had this event today where he had to go and sit and be interviewed talking about the president and the press.
Yeah.
At the museum, and a couple networks
on
carried...
During Passover.
Yeah, a couple of networks carried it live.
Right.
And, you know...
Right. So Spicer's words were these. This is during his press conference where he's comparing Bashar al-Assad with Adolf Hitler. You had someone as despicable as Hitler who didn't even sink to using chemical weapons. Well, history, by the way, will prove that wrong.
How can he even say that? Even misspeaking, it can't be misspoke.
Right.
I really don't get that.
He's not just wrong. He's 6 million times wrong, because that's how many people
actually,
died.
No, 6 million Jews, but there were more than 10 million people in all killed in the Holocaust.
Yeah. A reporter mercifully gave him a chance to explain his moronic statement. Here's what Spicer added after that as he tried to clarify. I think when it comes to sarin gas, he was not using the gas on his own people the same way that Assad is doing. I mean, there was clearly, I understand your point. Thank you. I appreciate that. There was not in the he brought them into the Holocaust centers. I understand that. But I'm saying it in a way that Assad used them where he went into towns, dropped them down to innocent, into the middle of towns. It was brought to the use of. I appreciate the clarification. That was not the intent. Those aren't even complete. He was just
floundering.
scrambling.
Right. That's when he's thanking the reporter, he's kind of like, you know, okay, right, you're right. Let me back out of this.
Right.
And he wasn't able to back out of it. And that's when he was just struggling.
And when you apologize for something, we've learned you have to use the word reaccommodating. That's the key to a good apology.
All right. Getting on to that with the United Airlines CEO, who is apologizing today.
Yeah.
Day late. Honestly,
well, he did yesterday too, Wendy. He came out with a statement late after you guys were done. But
he did, yeah, later in the day he did.
But you remember the initial statements,
sure.
And that's when you bring it forward.
Sure.
It's like, you know, when you keep punching someone, you go, oh, I'm sorry, and then you do it again, I'm sorry. I'm sorry doesn't mean anything. You have to get that out right in the front part of it.
You know, when we talked about this yesterday, and we weren't the only ones, it was everywhere yesterday with United. A lot of people said the same thing. You got to kind of like a boss who stands up for his workers. And normally I would say yes.
Agreed.
Why wouldn't you want a boss who would stand up for you? But you also have to look at the bigger picture, which is just the way that United comes out looking in this, which is not good.
And it really wasn't United's employees that pulled this doctor off the plane. It was the airport security /police.
Sure.
But
right.
They still called them. You know?
Yeah. And, you know, it gets pinned on United because the whole process of them overbooking the flight and then demanding that their own people, United's people, got on that flight instead of four passengers.
Now I hear it wasn't overbooked.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
It was booked, but it wasn't overbooked. It's this, they needed the four seats for their people.
Oh, well, that was mentioned yesterday. That they. So that didn't change dramatically. All right. We have this and many other things to talk over with you. If you want to jump in, we would love to hear from you. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. On May 1st, does Sean Spicer still have his job, yes or no? And this can be by way of being fired, by way of stepping down, or any other means. Is he still? Does he still hold his job on May the 1st?
I say yes, but not far after that, he will be gone.
Yeah.
But May 1st, I think he'll still be...
Steve? What do you think?
I think just the opposite. I think if he survives to April 15th, he'll be fine by May 1st.
Really? Interesting.
What do you think?
I think he will still have his job.
I don't think it's going to be much longer, though. He can't. I mean, can you imagine getting up and the blood pressure that zaps you every single day that you do your job?
It's all his whole job has been deflection. And that's what part of the job is deflection.
But some presidents are easier to deflect things from.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Steve and I were talking about this morning how many of the people who, you know, these are relatively new names to us because Trump's presidency is relatively new. But Bannon has been in some serious trouble as of the last couple of days. Sean Spicer. I can't remember the last time I saw Kellyanne Conway anywhere. It's been weeks.
How about that?
She's just as invisible can be.
I think she's actually at this event today.
Oh, is she? Yeah.
Spicer was at earlier. But yeah, I agree. It's been very low profile.
Why?
I mean, there have been, I know MSNBC for one, and I don't know if CNN or others have decided to stop putting her on. Because she would come on and say things for the president, and then there were a couple instances where the president an hour later would say something completely different. So they kind of questioned her credibility and stopped booking her.
I think Jake Tapper took her down.
That's part of it. There's no doubt
really
about it.
That's part of it.
But there was, you know, very early in his presidency, and we're going way, 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 way back to a month or two ago. You saw her every day.
Yeah.
She showed up somewhere every day and said something every day. And now weeks are going by where she just isn't a factor at all.
I kind of liked watching her. She kind of drove me crazy, but I like to see her just really take her own spin on things.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting.
Yep. Yep.
To watch her.
Yep. No doubt about that. All right. We're easy to reach, as I've pointed out. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in by way of text or phone call.
All right. Somebody was talking about the overbooking, and this changes the whole thing dramatically. Their policy is that if they are overbooked, they reserve the right to take your seat. It is not, however, their policy that if they screw up and understaff another flight, they can then take your seat. United didn't follow their own policy rules. That's interesting.
Yep. Yep.
I think people are going to be talking about United even more. What do you think, Beatrice?
Well, my spin on this, and enjoy your show, both of you, is that you're right. If someone has already paid for a ticket and they're already in their seat on the plane, then they shouldn't be removing them. And I think there's talk about that. The second option, if they know that they have to have a flight crew get on board, then they should not fill those seats up for their people.
I agree. Was it a last-minute thing?
I really enjoy your show because I live stream it from Indianapolis, so thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for that.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Beatrice.
Your question was it a last-minute thing? It had to have been
I think that's what happened. They had boarded the passengers, and then the crew came in.
In a panic going, we have to get to St. Louis. What can you do?
Louisville.
Anytime I've ever seen this happen, everybody's still at the gate. I've never seen it where you're already settled into the plane. I was one time I'm in Las Vegas and I'm taking a red eye flight back and it leaves just after midnight, like 12:10 or 12:15. So everybody's waiting at the gate and it's supposed to leave, like I said, just a few minutes after 12. That comes and goes. 10 more minutes pass, 20 more minutes pass, a half an hour passes. Then one of the representatives of the airline tells us very apologetically that they forgot to book a crew for the flight. And you can't believe the pandemonium. Because that was the last flight out. That meant that you had to wait until the next morning. We were then informed there was it was the NCAA tournament was going on. So it's a very busy time in Las Vegas. So they said that most of us, now this was a Sunday night into Monday morning, most of us wouldn't be able to get a flight out until Wednesday or possibly Thursday because they forgot to book a crew. You can't, but I heard swear words that day that I've never heard before or since.
How does that happen?
I can't figure that out.
And so what happened? Did a crew come?
No. Everybody got a hotel voucher, in brackets, to the seediest hotel in Las Vegas. Imagine that for just a moment. And we were then told that by order of when we booked our tickets, that's when the airline would contact us to make arrangements, but not to count on getting out of there until at least Wednesday. I got out on Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
And what day were you stuck?
It was Sunday night into Monday morning.
Oh.
And, you know, I was thinking about it. If you remove people from the order in which it was purchased, that's not fair either, because what if somebody has an emergency at home or they've lost a loved one?
Well, the airline's got to, I mean, they got to have some criteria, right? I mean, how?
That's what's in question is which criteria is the most fair?
The cheapest or the last purchased? And what, that cheapest shouldn't be either, because what if you do your homework and you get it 6 months in advance and it's a very cheap sale?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, were they going to go with the biggest sob story? That won't, you can't do that.
Oh, because I'd win that.
Right.
I'd still be talking.
You would.
That plane would be still sitting at O'Hare and I would be talking, but I wouldn't be dragged out.
No,
sir,
never.
It's my turn.
All right, we must take a break. Stay where you are. A lot in store for you on today's show, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
From the Goldbergs, from Curb Your Enthusiasm, from Chicago, Jeff Garland will be in studio with us.
Hey, the meatheads are here, just in time for Easter.
You are a meathead.
And we'll tell you who had the worst week ever.
Rokan with Anna DeVlantis. Chicago's conversation is on 720 WGN.
Easter Sunday, Easter eggs, Easter bunny. Lots of things pair with Easter, but none better than Baker Square pies. Another great pairing? Peanut butter and bananas, like our peanut butter banana supreme pie. Golden flaky crust, creamy peanut butter, fresh bananas. Perfect with your family celebration. Order your Easter pies today, like peanut butter banana supreme and classic French silk. Easter and the best pie in America. So good together. Call, click, or come in to Baker Square.
I manage a construction site, and the other morning we had to send half of the crew home because of missing equipment. This nonsense is cutting into my time and budget.
Here's what you need to know. Alarm Detection Systems offers mobile security solutions that expand with your project. Visit adsalarm.com or call 630-844-6300 to find out about our alarm and video protection. License number 127-000143.
Hungry? Old Wisconsin Summer Sausage and Meat Snacks makes the perfect snack. They're a proud sponsor of our Chicago Blackhawks. Look for Old Wisconsin products at Meijer stores everywhere.
Did you know that the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette is celebrating 100 years?
I did.
It's true. 100 years as a family-owned business, and they're doing it this year. They now have the third generation of Thalman family at the helm, and the fourth generation just joined the company. How cool is that? Their landscape division is top-notch when it comes to designing and maintaining custom outdoor spaces. Their garden center is full of unique plants and home decor items, and you can ask them any question, and they'll have a solution to help you fix it. Now, one of the people answering those questions is Chalet's own Tony Fulmer. You know Tony. He's their chief horticulturist. He's one of the features of a contest that Chalet is running here on WGN, and you can hear him with us later on in the show. The contest is called Creating a Sentimental Garden, and our listeners can win a one-hour personal garden consultation with Tony, and get this, a $500 Chalet gift card on top of that. It's all part of their 100th birthday celebration. The contest runs now through May the 31st. You can enter to win at WGNradio.com/contest.
All right, news time right now. This is sponsored by the Yard. Here's Steve Bertrand.
We're just getting word from NBC reporting that the U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, who is in Moscow, is now meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. That had not been on the schedule, and of course it comes during a sort of degradation in the relationship between the two countries and certainly the rhetoric. For example, President Trump today said President Putin is backing an evil person in Syria. The president of the U.S. said Syrian President Bashar Assad is an animal. He had an interview with Fox Business Network, said that Putin's support of Assad is very bad for Russia. A group of state lawmakers is introducing a bill to allow recreational marijuana in Illinois. Other states have that. In fact, eight do. They say it would bring in hundreds of millions of dollars for the state. And Chicago police say they're questioning people of interest in the fatal shooting of a Cook County judge, Raymond Miles, this week. Miles was shot outside his home. They won't say how many people they're talking to. We'll check your money, sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Wendy, there's some big show business news that we'll get to in our report, our Marianne's show business report to the nation in just a little bit. But first, may I do some shameless self-promoting?
Please do.
Just a little bit. Tomorrow on the number one rated news source here in Chicago, that will be your WGN TV Morning News, the best TV morning news show ever created. They've been kind enough to invite me on the show tomorrow. They're actually doing a remote from my house, and they're going to feature my extensive toy collection. So that's going to be on a couple
Your
of times.
Your wife must be proud.
She's
Thank
so
God.
Proud.
I was so afraid you were going to sing.
No, I'm not going to sing. Although I might sing.
No. No, we'll look at your toys.
Yeah, all right. But if a song hits me, I will certainly share it with everybody. But
you'll hit us back?
Yes.
You know, this is way overdue. I can't believe you haven't been featured before.
You know, there was a Christmas party a year ago that Jeff Hoover, who is the executive producer of the show, attended. And he said, we must book this immediately. And I said, well, it's after Christmas. And, you know, the toy thing would probably work better at Christmas, don't you think? And he goes, yes. We'll figure something out. And here we are just a year and a half later, and we're doing it. So good. It took 18 months to put it together.
Speaking of Bob and Marianne, we did a lot of their morning segments on their First Thing in the Morning, Fox Thing in the Morning.
Yes.
And I did an In Bed With segment with them.
I remember that.
Many, many years ago with my zebra sheets.
Yes.
And I didn't get them just for the appearance. I actually slept. I still have them.
They had a hard time, from what I understand, lighting the mirrored ceiling. The producer said to me that was the hardest thing they ever had to do for the morning show because the lights would just bounce back off the mirrors.
Well, I just thought I'd include that little tidbit in the Marianne Showbiz Report to the nation.
Yeah, sure.
Well, good. It's about time. And I know that you get very festive with Snow Village stuff around Christmas, but really, you live and breathe toys every day, so it doesn't really have to be
right.
around Christmas.
That's true. It's year-round. So,
did you give us the time?
You know what? It's like all throughout the show.
Oh,
they're going to
okay.
do
Cutaways.
Little hits. Yeah. They do it. It's
hits
called
and bits.
On
it's
the,
called.
On the Town. Right. And it'll be Mike Toomey, our friend Mike Toomey, is on the show all the time, and Jeff Hoover. And then, couldn't get a security clearance to get into my house. So she was going to come along, too, but for some reason, she was not available. I don't understand why.
Who is it that's
not?
Oh, you've changed it.
Is there a G in there?
Now there is.
Yes. She cannot come, but it's Jeff Hoover.
She's on vacation,
She's on vacation, and everyone's in Iceland. Everyone is in Iceland right now. So, yeah, tune in to the WGN-TV Morning News tomorrow. I've talked about the toy collection on the show before. You can actually see it in 3D tomorrow.
And, you know, set your DVR for it, because some of us will be on our way to work.
Oh, okay.
But set your DVR for WGN Morning TV News.
Mm-hmm.
What time does it come on, Bill? The show starts around 5, right?
2:30 now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking
it might be in the middle of the night.
Wendy gets in her car to come to work at 9:23.
Right.
So I don't,
no,
know,
I do not.
I know
she's I got up at 6 a.m. this morning,
uh-huh.
took a shower, got one kid to school on time,
yeah.
got a second kid to school on time, different school, different time,
yeah.
took the dog for a walk, and still made it here on
How
time.
How about that?
At 10 o'clock.
How about that?
I got here at 10:02.
Yeah.
And I've been coming in, and Bill, you can attest, I have been coming in earlier lately.
Yeah. What's up with that? What happened?
I get in here like about 9:30, 9:35 now. That's my goal.
Yeah.
Mm. What time are we talking, Bill, today about Spicer this morning?
It was, about 9:40. Yeah.
I said today I had a lot to get in.
I'm not pointing fingers.
And who cares?
Nobody.
What are you, the
As long as you're here
patrol?
When the puck drops.
Right.
That's
right?
It.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. You don't need to be here for the pregame. That's ridiculous.
I'll tell you, we don't spend a lot of time talking show stuff because we like it to be fresh, delivered fresh, made fresh, like donuts.
Yeah, they're similar to donuts.
Because when we're in there, we're just talking about not really a lot of show stuff.
Right.
You and Kevin talk about weird things.
What do you mean?
I don't know what you talked about today, but a lot of times I'll come in and...
Do you think it's weird stuff, Kevin? I don't. Right.
You were today.
Yeah.
What were they talking about, Steve?
I'm not going to divulge that.
I don't remember.
Wow. Throw me under the bus, but not the boys.
I don't remember. All right. Can we get to Marianne Show Business Report to the Nation?
Yeah, I'm
Because there's a couple of very important things.
Have your green shake.
First of all, this is so sad, but Jay Giles, who was the frontman for the Jay Giles Band, was found dead yesterday in his Massachusetts home. Now, that in and of itself is very, very sad news because he was a very important part of music in the 80s. And actually, for people who are not aware of Jay Giles, just a little bit, Kevin, so people can get a taste. Very catchy. Wouldn't you agree?
This is when they sold out.
Very catchy.
1981?
Well, I think a little later than that, Steve, but not much later. I want to say closer to 83.
Really?
Oh, wait a second. You are right. That was, now it doesn't say what year that was a number one hit, But they're, well, wait a second.
I'm
Hold on
staring
a second.
At my wicker closet door on the ninth floor of McCormick Hall listening to that song.
So that would have been 81, you're saying?
I think so, 81 or 82.
It says Freeze Frame was number one for 4 weeks in 83.
Uh-huh.
And Centerfold was number one for 6 weeks. But it doesn't say the year. So,
well, it was the same album.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm wrong. So it would have been later.
A little bit later, not a lot later. Now, this is the part that really threw me, because when I saw the headline, Jay Giles is dead, and I go, wow, he must be in his 50s by now. 71 years old.
Bill, we're in our 50s.
I know, but for some reason, those guys, the MTV guys, like the initial MTV guys who first were stars, it just finally hit me with Jay Giles' death that those guys are in their 70s now. Like, they're in my head, they're locked in. They're like somewhere between 30 and 40, maybe 50. But they're not. They're 70.
All right. That didn't surprise me because we're in our 50s. But John Warren Giles Jr., he was professionally known as Jay Giles. He founded the band. He wasn't really their front man because Peter Wolf, who was married to Faye Dunaway.
Oh, yeah. Peter Wolf.
But I have a high school boyfriend that I dated. I had two boyfriends in high school. And Richie loved Jay Giles and turned me on to the early Jay Giles, which in my opinion was the best stuff. They were soul, funk, rock.
This is much
blues.
Harder edged than their hits.
From Blow Your Face Out, I typically don't like live albums, but this is, they rocked and they rolled.
Is Peter Wolf still alive?
Yeah.
He is still alive?
Yeah, he's touring. And then, of course, you've got Magic Dick on the licking stick. Dick Solowitz, I think his name is, who plays harmonica. A good
That's
song.
The name of a band member, by the way, for people just tuning in and hearing that and are shocked because you're a shock jock. That was the man.
A harmonica's
right,
a licking stick.
Right, he was a harmonica player.
Listen to Whammer Jammer. That is like the best harmonica playing in the world.
Yeah.
But 71 years old.
71.
And we still don't know his cause of death.
No.
He was found in his home.
Yeah. Yep. Very,
I don't
very
want. I want to be with someone when I die. I don't want to be found.
You know, I think that's a fear that everybody has somewhere in the back of their heads. Is you don't want, in those last gasps, you don't want to be by yourself.
And I don't want to be naked.
Well, you don't have to be.
I know, but what if I am? What if death takes me when I'm in the shower or something?
You should always wear a tank top just to prevent that.
What's grandma wearing that for?
Why does she have a tank top on? She had a weird fear that she didn't want to die naked.
She put it on in 2018.
Right, and she's still wearing it.
If that doesn't keep you from doing something bad, like, right. Seriously, you know, never was big into drugs because, you know, what if you, there were kids, high school student I know was playing basketball and did cocaine once and had a heart attack and died.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you just don't want to. That's what keeps me on the path of the straight and narrow. I don't want to just be found dead.
Oh,
I don't want to be found in a compromising situation.
While.
No, I just don't want to get caught doing something stupid when I'm dead.
Yep. I understand.
Alive, I don't care.
You'll be dead.
I know, but then everybody's
going to
think.
But the legend, people always remember, she died in that weird snow cone machine accident. Remember Wendy Snyder? How about that weird snow cone machine accident that
That's
killed
gonna
her?
That's going to be how you go. I would be. It would be something worse for me.
I can't even, because I know you, and I'm trying to think in my head what would be the what's the worst possible scenario for them to find you? What would it be?
I
can't even say. It's too.
It's
too
but
disgusting.
You know exactly what you.
No, I don't. It just would be something that would make me look like I wasn't. It wouldn't be characteristic of the true me.
Right.
It would just be something stupid I did.
Right. Like the first time you tried something and you fell off it or something.
Right.
Right?
Like flying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to think about
no,
it.
No, it's too much.
She thought she could fly.
I just don't want to be found dead. That's just depressing.
Well, but that, I mean, so the alternative to being found dead is what?
I just want to be with someone when I die.
So you're lingering long enough that everyone can come by?
Yeah.
Yeah. One last look. Not you, Steve?
I want to be reaching for the green beans and boom, get hit with something. I'm gone.
So you don't care? I guess at that point.
Right? I mean, just so they, well, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's so bizarre to talk about. But, you know, it's like sometimes when you think of people who die in their sleep, it's like, I can't have that happen because who's going to get the kids up in the morning?
Oh.
It really depresses me.
But dying in your sleep is the way. That's the best way.
And if the kids are ever going to miss school and sleep in, it's on the day you die. Right. So you'll be fine.
You get a pass that day.
Right. They're not going to go
late
anyway.
It's an excused
absence.
Yeah. Teachers give you that day off.
All right. Well, that's a.
Yeah.
That's the plus side.
Yeah. All right. We have another sad celebrity death report. We'll come back and tell you this one. This is hot off the presses, and this is not good. So stick around. We'll tell you what that is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I just wanted to demonstrate.
That's very good, isn't it?
Dick Solowitz from the Jay Giles Band.
Yeah.
Jay Giles found dead in his house at the age of 71 out east, right?
In Massachusetts. Yes.
All right, you had another death, a celebrity death.
I do. Can we take a quick phone call first? Because I'm very curious to hear about this. We were talking about the way you would hope to not be found once you expire, once you pass away.
Don't say expire.
That's like a library card.
Or milk.
Yeah, milk also expires, doesn't it? Yeah.
Susan, we were talking about how I just don't want to be found dead. What's your hang up?
I feel you, Wendy. Way back when, and I'm showing my age a little now, I used to watch Murphy Brown with Candace Bergen. And there was an episode where the plane was going down and everybody on the plane is freaking out. Oh, they're going to die. They're going to die. And she's like, we are not going to die. They're like, well, how do you know? She said, my closets are messy. It would be way, way, way too embarrassing to die with messy closets.
It would be.
I know, and that's my biggest fear now, besides the drawer that I can't let anybody in, that my best friend would have to go and throw away everything in the drawer.
Oh, I gotcha. You know? Yeah.
No one wants that.
See, that's the thing, too, is going through stuff.
Right.
I just, you know, it's my stuff. I don't want people to go through it.
Right.
I need a best friend. You know, that's a service you should come up with, an entrepreneurial business, Susan. It's like instead of the best friend, the last friend. It's someone you could trust to go through your private stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Great idea.
Susan, thanks so much. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too. Thanks.
Thanks, Susan.
All right. Here's the other celebrity death. Now, I'm going to tell you this person's name, and you're going to go, I don't know who that is. But then I'll tell you why you do know who this is.
All right.
Dorothy Mengering has died, Wendy.
Oh, my God.
Dorothy Mengering died yesterday.
I feel so bad.
She was 95 years old.
Poor thing.
And explain to everybody now who Dorothy Mengering is, please.
Poor 95-year-old woman.
That's
who
right.
Lived a rich, full life.
She did.
I have no idea.
She is the mother of TV's David Letterman.
Oh,
she was the one who always
yeah.
did. Like when the Olympics were being played out,
yeah.
they would send Dave's mom out to the Olympics, and she would do reports from the Olympics. On Thanksgiving, they always cut to her kitchen, and she was preparing some sort of a pie, which was always fun.
She was really good.
And my favorite thing about her was that from time to time when they would do that remote thing, David Letterman would say something, and in the best Midwestern mom voice, she would go, "Now, David," as if to scold him.
Can I say I'm jealous that he had a mom till 95? That's pretty great.
I agree with you. Yeah, and not only had her till 95, now I can't speak for her the last couple of years, but she was as sharp as a tack just a couple of short years ago when he'd have her on. She was just very quick-witted and fun and had a nice time, but always had that little scolding, "Now, David," every once in a while.
She was great on that show.
Mengering passed away on Tuesday, according to Hollywood Reporter. She often called into Letterman's NBC show as Dave's mom. But she made her first on-camera splash back in 1994, serving as Late Show's correspondent to the Winter Olympics in Lillehammer. Her TV visits with her son were so popular that she interviewed Nancy Kerrigan and Hillary Clinton during her Lillehammer stint. When she returned to the show as a correspondent for the following two Winter Olympics, that was in Nagano and in Salt Lake City, she was a retired church secretary and a seasoned pie maker. She published a seasoned pie maker. She published a cookbook in 1996 called Home Cookin' with Dave's Mom. That contained recipes for several varieties of pie, from blueberry to chocolate chiffon to sour cherry, which is Dave's favorite, it says here. She continued to make appearances on Letterman's Late Night Show by way of satellite from her Indiana home twice a year on Thanksgiving Day. Those are the ones I remember. Dave would play a game with her called Guess Mom's Pies, and then that would also appear on Mother's Day. Current late night talk show host Stephen Colbert offered his condolences by way of Twitter. Here's what he said. I'm so sorry to hear of Dorothy Mangering's death and so grateful that Dave shared her with us.
That's sad.
Yeah. She was always fun.
She really was.
Yeah.
So was that his real name?
No, Mangering was her maiden name. Letterman, she married, I think his name was Harry Letterman. I think David's son Harry is named for his father.
Huh. Well, that's pretty sad.
Yeah, that is very, very sad. You could see a resemblance. I don't know if you ever saw pictures of Dave's dad. They didn't look anything alike, but Dave's mom, from certain angles, you go, oh, yeah, that's definitely his mom. Look at the similarity there.
Boy, this is a depressing showbiz report to the nation.
Well, blame Marianne. It's her show business report to the nation.
All right.
And she should do a better job of finding funny stories for us. All right. We must take a break. It's court mandated. So we'll take a break. And then a couple of great guests. Dane Neal will come by. We talk food with Dane every other Wednesday. Tony Fulmer will come by, one of our most popular guests. When it comes to planting, nobody knows more than the Chalet's own Tony Fulmer. So stick around. All that in the next hour and more. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Wendy, you remember a time when Dane Neal was exclusive property of our program? Well, now he's branched out. He's got a whole network going now.
The Dane Neal Network.
The Dane Neal Network.
DNN.
I'm still working on James Earl Jones to do the voiceovers.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, it's not going
to. Well, how are you, Dane?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
The Saturday shows have been really good. I've heard little bits and pieces of each of them.
That's the best way to enjoy them.
Small bits and pieces, small doses.
Right, advertised. Like a tapas kind of show.
Yeah.
Small plates.
Are you having a good time with it? It sounds like
you are. It sounds like it.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, it's so much fun and it's really great. A lot of great stories. You know, there's a lot of great stories out there and having some of those personalities on and sharing some of that stuff. And mm-hmm. it's been going, the response has been kind of crazy good, which is really good. So we're doing it.
And that's Saturdays at?
Saturdays at 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. on the road.
2 to 4. But if you're listening in bits and pieces like I do, from 2:11 to 2:13, from 2:19 to 2:26.
Whatever works for you. Right. Yeah. Just get in, get out.
Yeah.
You know, get
full. It's easy.
Start early and then, you know, a couple hours later, kind of like, you know, Chinese food or Thanksgiving, you'll be hungry again
leftovers. Very, very true. You have brought in an esteemed guest today and we appreciate that. Who have you brought in?
Well, first off, Chicago is, it's a pizza town.
Really? When did that happen?
No, it's true, Wendy.
It's on the Visitor and Tourism Bureau when you get to the airport. Home of pizza. Yeah. The hot dog down there. And
there's over a dozen different pizza places in the city alone.
Yeah, so it's pizza, hot dogs, maybe political
beef,
corruption,
Italian
rampant
beef.
Crime, whatever. But yeah. Pizza is right near the top. We always think of Chicago pizza as the deep dish kind, and it is. You know, we own that. But so many great pizzas are happening in the Chicagoland area. So in studio, we have Bea Bernasconi. She is from Eataly, and we know Eataly is this great 60,000 square foot marketplace. All sorts of great Italian goods, local artisans, farmer produced
cool
things.
Cool gadgets.
Gadgets, anything you want to do. But in the corner, in addition to the bakery and the cheese making factory and the brewery, they have this great Neapolitan pizza ovens, these two wood fired ovens that are in the corner, and they are making some great Neapolitan pizza. And Bea is here to talk a little bit about that.
Yes. Hi. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Do us a quick favor. Define for people who are not aware, because I'm not 100% sure myself, what makes a pizza a Neapolitan pizza? What's the difference?
So pizza that was born in Naples has to follow a lot of different rules.
Yeah.
Italians are not really flexible with their pizza. It has to be... it has to rise for 24 hours. It is cooked in this wood-burning oven that Dane was referring to.
Mm-hmm.
It only cooks for 90 seconds, which is like the craziest thing. Like I thought it cooked for much longer when I started thinking about pizza.
90 seconds,
only
that's
90
how
seconds.
Hot it is,
how,
right?
That's
900
how you
degrees,
get the charred
right?
So. And the airy crust.
Yeah.
It's because of how quick it cooks.
Yeah.
And the center is elastic. Actually, I see you're enjoying
a
piece.
Oh, totally.
So
yeah?
Good.
Best tasting elastic I've ever had.
Yeah, and so this is like the classic Neapolitan style pizza, but we recently added the three new styles of pizza just to make it more fun. And we have one that is we call rustica, which is kind of like whole wheat. It's cooked for 30 minutes, not only 90 seconds, so a little longer. And instead of in a wood-burning oven, it's in a coal-fire oven.
What's the difference?
The temperature is lower. So instead of 990 degrees, it's only 600.
And how long does that take instead of 90
three,
seconds?
3 minutes.
Only 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Good golly.
Then we added a moderna, though, which is really similar to the classica, but it cooks in the same oven of the rustica. So it cooks mm-hmm. for a longer period of time. So it cooks more in the middle. So it's going to be a little different as far as texture.
Yeah.
yeah. but the flavor is similar enough. And then we have the Leggera, which actually Dane chose for his special.
Oh. Yes. What?
Oh.
Which is...
Well, now, this is important because it is a gluten-friendly. There are a lot of people out there concerned about that as far as...
What's the difference between gluten-friendly and gluten-free?
Well, it's not gluten-free, but if you don't have the most serious, I think, aversion to that kind of thing,
yeah.
Whether it's
so the dough itself, it is gluten-free. The problem is our pizza maker is not gluten-free.
Oh.
Our store is not gluten-free. So we can't really take the risk of having someone with celiac disease eat that pizza, but if you're avoiding gluten, if you're intolerant, it's perfect. It doesn't touch it, but, there is cross-contamination. That's the only thing that makes it not 100% gluten-free.
And, right. and oftentimes, and they've gotten better over the years, just in general, in society, products in order to try to make them better tasting. But it has always been sort of a compromise, right? When you want to go gluten-free, you're going to get something.
Yeah.
It's going to allow you to have that basic dish, but it's not going to taste as good, most likely, but you'll be able to avoid some of those problems. And this one, this dough is as good as it gets. If you did not know, you would not know, and you would enjoy it just the same, and I hope people will.
Yeah.
I'm going to taste the difference. What toppings did you put on it?
Well, wait a minute.
Oh.
Before you taste. Okay, so she mentioned some of these, the other pizzas that they have and the other doughs, and they are great. If you want to run through a couple of the regular ones that you guys have.
Regular pizzas we serve?
The ones that we've got here.
Yeah, so we have the regular margherita pizza, like the most popular, most common with the... tomatoes from San Marzano, mm-hmm. mozzarella from the Bufala. So we noticed that everyone is really sensitive to where their meat comes from, where their seafood comes from. But then when it's about pizza, they're like, oh, I'm just hungry, I'm going to eat some
right.
pizza, you know? But we want people to be more sensitive to what the ingredients are.
We can tell by your accent, you're from downstate Illinois. How did you learn to make all these different pizzas?
I'm actually from Lake Como, next
yeah,
to Milan.
Lake Como, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In the north of Italy.
And this is a family tradition that's passed on for centuries, right? Is that what usually goes on with that?
Yes, yes. Especially like the guys that I didn't actually make this pizza,
yeah.
but the guys that did make has been doing it for generations.
And the recipes rarely, if ever, change, right? They figure it out and they go with it for as long as they can.
If it's not broke, then don't
Why
fix
would
it
you fix
for
it?
Centuries.
Right.
Well, yeah. what we've done then, Bill, I think you've led up to it, is we've just decided to go ahead and break it.
Yeah.
So we decided, we were tasked with, and when I first found out that I was going to be one of the guest pizzaiolos over there, I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to get in, help out, make some pizzas. They need some help over there, just basic labor.
Yeah.
And when I got in there, I was tasked with working with their chefs and creating a signature pizza, something new and different, that people would, here's the thing, would enjoy. So it had to taste good.
Yes.
But then it also couldn't be something that they already had on the menu. And Bill, you mentioned hundreds of years to prep. You can come up with all the best taste combinations.
You would think.
You can just throw some pepperoni, a little bit of cheese on there.
No,
boom,
no,
you're
no.
good to
already
go.
Already been done.
Right. So I had to come up with something different. A little special, but also something, that people would like.
Did you come up with?
This is the pizza Daintanimo.
Daintanimo?
Yeah. Now, if we all remember back, and I think it was debuted here on the Bill and Wendy Show, which most good things are, is if you remember, I did a collaboration with the Do Right Donut folks. And created the Daintanimo German chocolate cake donut.
It was fantastic.
And you were not alone, Wendy, because it went on to become the all-time greatest collaboration in history. And this is another Lake Como resident. George Clooney did a collaboration.
Yeah.
Duff Goldman, Fitz and the Tantrums, a bunch of different people. But the humble and just generally friendly Daintanimo German chocolate cake donut was extended 4 times, so the greatest one in the history.
That's excellent.
Right, so following on that, just like you would with George Foreman, you'd want him to collaborate on whatever. So I was approached, and so we've got the pizza Daintanimo. Here's what makes it different. So it's got that crust, the gluten-friendly crust that you've got there.
Yeah.
It's got black truffle cream. There's some mushrooms in there
that
as well.
Sounds good.
Spicy salami, kind of, and don't think salami just in the circle form, kind of sliced in sort of the kind of a prosciutto way.
Yeah.
Buffalo mozzarella topped with fresh arugula and green Cerignola olives on Italy, again, gluten-friendly pizza dough. So it's one of those things where you've got a little bit of the salt from the green olives, but they're the nice, firm green olives, not like the ones that you'd normally see in the jar in your refrigerator with the pimento. And then you've got the salami, a little bit of spicy salami for that kick. And then instead of a red sauce, it's got that cream sauce on it with the mushrooms.
You tried this?
Not yet. I haven't.
Not yet? All right.
Yeah.
Now,
your taste buds are in for a treat.
I'll try it right now.
It's amazing.
Right. Yeah.
Here's the good sign. Because I thought about, here's all the things that I like, and here's things that wouldn't be too weird. Now, if I could have thrown, let's say, lobster on it.
That would be
sure,
right.
We would have done that, right? Yeah. That would make people like it even more.
Yeah.
But the chef himself had one. I forced him to try it. And you're watching him knowing that he's obligated to be polite,
right?
And say something along the lines of, well, you can't really screw up a pizza. Mm-hmm. But instead, he ate it, and then he ate another piece, and then he ate another piece, too.
Oh, no.
So I only got to go home with one to have the kids test.
So there's something addictive, obviously, in this pizza. You've put something in there that's contraband.
And I'm glad you mentioned it, Bill, because I want to make it clear to people that all those normal addictive things out there, whether it's gambling or crystal meth, are not included in this pizza.
Oh, they're not. Yeah. Okay. I'm shocked.
But what a nice marriage of flavors, because you are...
See, this is, I think, asterisk and then nice marriage of flavors. Wendy Snyder is going to go on the brochure for this.
I'll do it, because first of all, I love salami. I like salami better than pepperoni. It is the best Italian meat in my world. But it's just a whole party in your mouth kind of thing.
Oh, that's nice. That's good.
I mean, it all comes together. Bill, you enjoy it?
Yeah, I like it. It's a great blend of flavors.
It's a marriage, would you say?
It's
like a long-term marriage, not the 50% that end in...
living together. Not so much a marriage.
Oh, I'd just say marriage.
You would say marriage?
I'd say 50-year golden anniversary marriage.
Oh, that's serious.
Bill, can I at least get an exciting cohabitation of flavors?
Heavens, it's tasty, says WGN's Bill F. It's really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
And so,
I like it too. I like it too.
Yeah, and you're a pro. We're just Wendy and I are amateurs. You're a professional.
So coming up on Thursday, April 20th, 6 to 9 p.m., I'll be there in person along with their chef. So there'll be some guidance on the chaperone side.
Yeah.
Making the pizzas, making the Pizza d'Antonio over at Italy. And we'll be doing it for charity as well. So of all the pizzas that are, and you can enjoy it yourself, so you don't just have to listen to us talk about that. We like it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome.
You can get in there. You can try it yourself. $18 is what the pizzas cost. I think they all cost that much, right?
The special ones, yes. On the menu, we have a price range from like 15 on.
So. Yeah. Up into the thousands.
And in case
it only has like 20,000.
Oh, all right.
Okay, so mine's reasonable.
Yeah.
And for every pizza that is bought, and Italy will be open, so it's open to all the people that are in Italy, not just people that we would lure in through our conversations, is $10 for every pizza is going to go to the West Suburban Community Pantry.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
What date is this?
This is April 20th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. I'll be there. And I'll be making the Pizza d'Antonio, and $10 from every one of those pizzas that gets sold is going to go to support the stuff at the West Suburban Community Pantry. We'll talk with the executive director of that after the break, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. You guys are of course invited.
Oh well, thank you, Dane. That's very nice. You need to copyright that Pizza d'Antonio thing before that guy from Jimmy John's jumps on.
You shouldn't say it because now you say it. All those guys from Jimmy John's are like, oh,
not
note,
Jimmy John's.
Note to
What's
self.
The pizza place that's like that? Something John's. Papa John's?
Oh, Papa John's.
That guy, he'll steal it right out from under you.
The pizza sub from Jimmy John's. Yeah. The d'Antonio sub.
Now we're talking. Well, it's delicious. I mean, everything that you guys do over there at Italy is delicious, Italy, so I'm not surprised in the least. But, boy, is that good, Dane. You have a future as a pizza chef in your...
I do not.
You do not.
Just as maybe I think... A licensing, you can get in. But, of course, these products have to be vetted. So if you have a great product out there that you think needs a weird name.
Right. Talk to Daniel.
Just talk to me.
I never had salami on a pizza before, and I
will ask
for it now. It's way better than pepperoni, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, see, here's some of the thought process was you wanted to have, it's going to be a little bit of salt, and obviously with the
green olive,
it's going to be a little bit of salt. So instead of the red sauce, going with the white sauce there was one of those things. And then the arugula gives, I think, maybe the false perception of nutrition.
Yes. Right? That's exactly what it does. I'm eating healthy. There's arugula on
my
pizza.
But you got a little bitter in that.
Yeah.
A little salty in the olives and the salami, a little sweet in the truffle oil.
You're covering all the food groups.
You want to know a fun fact about pepperoni?
Yes.
In Italy, they don't really, really exist. Like, we have salami.
What?
But the word pepperoni means peppers. So every time we come to the U.S., you're like, oh, peppers on pizza? Like, why are they doing that?
Right.
And it's actually, it's like the biggest mistake we make after ordering a whole deep dish each. Like, that's the
My whole
mistake.
Life is a lie.
Well, Bill, I know what
Sorry,
you're thinking.
Bill.
You're thinking how, everybody can't be, us, you guys eating it. And, of course, everybody can't be, me creating a pizza.
Right.
But they've got a pizza program over there because think about it. If you could find a way to make a really great pizza with fresh ingredients in 90 seconds or 3 minutes, let's do that all day for the family. So, Bay, you guys have a hands-on pizza program, right, where you're teaching even kids.
Things going on all the time. We have classes on Mondays and Wednesdays. You get to make your own pizza, eat it learn like all the secrets from our pizzaiolo, pizza
maker.
Oh,
nice.
Pizzaiolo.
Pizzaiolo, yeah. On Wednesdays, we have this fun thing. You can order all the pizza you want and just pay $22. Like, you can sit
what
down
day
and
is
just
that?
Stay there. Wednesdays, wow. Every Wednesday.
That's all today.
Day. I got to go. Can't stay.
Then on Sundays, we do something for the kids. So we sell for $9 kids' fun shape pizzas. So there's like a bunny.
When Bay first told me about that, and we always remember the great line from Raising Arizona, you know, well, what shapes are funny? Does this blow up into funny shapes? Mm-hmm. What, is round funny? So I was wondering, like, what shapes do...
We have a bunny. We have for a Easter. Heart. We uh-huh. have a butterfly.
Oh.
And a, like a goldfish looking thing.
All of those are fun.
Yeah.
There's not a non-fun shape in the bunch. All right.
Even around
and then the
is
most
fun.
Important events we have are the ones in which we invite great people, like Dane.
And Dane Tanimo.
Dane Tanimo.
Like Bocephus, right? Well, no, think about this. And this is true. And it's good that you mentioned that. So I'm not the only one. They're doing this program where they're bringing in some people. And so people like Steve Dolinsky or Kat Doria from Check Please, mm-hmm. like they've gotten in there. Some notable chefs, you know, Sarah Grunberg and some others. And then me. So
that's excellent. Yep. All right, we must take a break. Stick around. We have more ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Dane Neal is here. We're talking pizza. Bea Berasconi is here from Eataly, one of the premier. I'm telling you, if you're downtown and you love Italian food, you must go to Eataly. There's no choice. It's just that good. You talked about there's a very nice charity angle to everything you're doing, Dane, and we want to discuss that a little further with
everything
you.
In general and on this day as well. So yes. April 20th, coming up 6 till 9, I'll be making this pizza, and I'm sure people will want to just eat and enjoy it as you guys have. For whatever reason, for their own selfish pleasure. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if there can be a side effect that doesn't include any kind of problems with gluten, right, Bay? Mm-hmm. But then also a charity that can be supported, a good cause that can be helped. I think you're ahead of the game. And so it's the West Suburban Community Pantry. They are out there in, I'm pretty sure it's either, I think it's Woodridge, I think is where they are, or Lyle or something. But they work the entire area out there, so many different suburbs and so many different areas. It's the second largest community food pantry in the state of Illinois. So they're doing great stuff. And every year they have this Chef's Culinary Challenge, and I helped to kind of form it in the beginning. And then it's been like 5 years and helped to MC it a bunch of times since then. They do some great work. So it's great to help them. And I think we've got, is it Laura Coyle? She's the executive director online. Hey, Laura, how are you doing?
Hi, Dane. How are you? Thank you so much for welcoming me on the show today.
Well, say hi to Bill and Wendy. They're really the ones welcoming you.
Hi, Bill and Wendy. Thanks so much for having me on. Dane has been really wonderful in supporting our organization. He's absolutely right. We're located in Woodridge, and we serve the western suburbs with food and resources for people in need.
And there are more people in need than we'd like to believe.
That is correct. Last year, we served about 36,000 people in this area, and about one-third of the people we serve are children. So really, you know, vulnerable populations out here that are in need of both food and then also other assistance to kind of help them get through their days and for a lot of working adults to get back on their feet. So we really appreciate the support and hope a lot of people come out to Eataly next week and join Dane in helping support our cause.
And you think about this, too. You mentioned that there's people that may not be on the radar screen as those that are food insecure, but you guys are doing stuff. People think about these situations around Christmas time or Thanksgiving or some of those food holidays, but I'm sure you're working all year long.
Yeah, absolutely. We do our work year-round, and what people don't think about a lot of times are times like something as simple as spring break for kids. Many children get their only meal a day during the week at school. So when school is out over spring break or over the summer, that's a really important time for those families to be able to find a food pantry and meet the needs of not only the parents but the children. We also serve a lot of senior citizens, and that's a really obviously very vulnerable population as well. So they come to the pantry, or we actually deliver meals to senior citizens in need.
Well, we know that we'll hope to see you guys and some extra people and people that support what it is that you're doing out there on the 20th. But before we let you go, if you want to give the website out or information so people can get on board and see what you guys are doing all the time.
That would be fantastic. Thank you so much. It's the West Suburban Community Pantry, and our website is wcpinc.org, or you can just Google West Suburban Community Pantry to learn more about what we do. And thank you again. We're looking forward to next Thursday.
Thanks, Laura. I really appreciate it. Again, that website is wcpinc.org for more information. Thanks, Laura. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
Dane, thank you. Bea, thank you. The food is outstanding.
Abundanza.
Yeah, as Wendy said, abundanza.
Bea asks, is like, how do you pronounce it? I'm like, it's the Dentanamo.
Yeah, that's how it's said. That's it exactly. Thanks, guys.
Grazie,
really appreciate that. Grazie, grazie. We'll take a quick break and then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
You don't bring me flowers. You don't sing me love songs.
I thought this was perfect.
This is beautiful, is what this is.
It's Tony Fulmer in the studio. Sweet Caroline.
Oh, isn't looking that.
There's my Neil Diamond.
Wendy doesn't do that for everybody, Tony.
That's I'm impressed.
And we'll never do it again.
No, once only.
No extra charge.
Nope.
Tony Fulmer is the chief horticulturist at Chalet Nursery. We've been talking a lot about you because we have an awesome contest going on.
Indeed.
At WGNradio.com.
Win Tony Fulmer.
Well, for an hour.
For an hour, you get to win Tony.
Yes.
As you guys celebrate 100 years as a family-owned business at Chalet Nursery in Wilmette, you can enter to get that 1 hour with Tony Fulmer, plus a $500 gift card from Chalet Nursery. All you do is go to WGNradio.com/contest, and good luck. All right, where do we want to begin?
Well, what about things to do for spring?
Yes, all right. Perfect timing,
things to
Tony.
Do for spring.
What do we need to know?
Okay. Well, for those people that are wanting to start doing vegetable gardening,
yes,
and maybe they know all of this before, but one of the things that's crucial is soil temperature, not air temperature so much. So one of the thing, and one of the reasons that we post on our website, I go out every Monday with a soil thermometer in Wilmette, and I put it in the ground, wait for 3 minutes, and pull it out, and then we put that soil temperature on our website.
Yeah.
So, for example, when the soil temperatures are below 50 degrees, you can do things like arugula, kale, lettuce, parsnips, radish, spinach.
All stuff that's way too good for you.
Exactly.
When can you plant Pop-Tarts?
Pop-Tarts, you want it to be in the mid-70s.
70s for Pop-Tarts.
And you want the toaster working.
Now, with soil temperature, usually, like even though it's starting to get nice and warm out, the soil retains whatever season we just got out of, so it'll stay colder for longer, and then the opposite at the end of the season, right?
Much longer. It's a very, very much slower process to warm up. So, for example, 2 weeks ago when I took it for the first time, it was 44 degrees. In 1 week, though, it had jumped up 10 degrees.
Oh.
So it was 54.
And does it have to stay like a certain temperature for a certain number of days in order to plant well?
It's just one of those things that when it's on this cold part of the year that you really want those temperatures to consistently stay a certain in that range, like 50 to 60, 60 to 70, 70 above for at least a week before you consider doing these different crops of things.
Tomatoes, what's the temperature you're
looking for? You want it to be 70.
I wait till Memorial Day. Steve Bertrand said you're waiting that long, and I typically buy a plant with a flower already on it, and you just told me that I'm doing it wrong.
You really prefer not to do that. You want a plant that is just pre-flowering. You want a nice, short, stocky plant with
just
dark
like
green
I
color.
Like my men.
Yeah.
Not really Jim 6 feet, but never mind.
I think we'll move on from that.
So short and stocky, and you
short
and
stocky,
you
but
pre-flowering. And you put it in, like, below the root ball quite a bit.
Well, that's only if you buy a plant that's really, really, really stretched and extra tall.
Okay.
Then you can, they're what we call stem rooters. So you can put tomatoes down 2 or 3 or 4 inches deeper. But usually that's only if the plant is
giant.
Stretched. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But the tomatoes, peppers, those are America's two favorite vegetables to put in the garden, and they are both tropical, so you don't want to rush the season on that. And that's what most people want to do, and they have to understand that if that soil temperature is cold and it's wet, you can put those tomatoes in, but you haven't gained anything. So if you're trying to beat the neighbor to the first tomato,
which I am,
that's not the way to do it unless that ground is warm, because you're not gaining anything. That plant is just sitting there and it's not growing.
So 70 and above for tomatoes, and go to chaletnursery.com to check the soil temp.
Exactly.
You can buy a soil thermometer relatively
easily.
They're not expensive, are they?
No.
What do they cost?
I believe they're under $10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's easy enough.
Sure. I don't care that much about it. It's kind of like I plant my plants and let's see what happens.
But you're getting better, aren't you?
I am getting better every year. Tony Fulmer has helped me in my hydrangeas that I kind of ruined, and you told me how to prune them, wait till the buds come up, and now I've left the dead flowers on there because they look great in winter, but those should be coming off now, right?
Right, right. And that's another important thing. You have to be really careful. You can do some pruning, but again, the rule is anything that blooms in the spring is blooming on the growth that it made last June, July, August, September. So anything that's spring blooming, you don't want to be doing any pruning on that now because you'll be cutting off this year's flowers.
That's what I did with my lilacs last year.
And you're going to have lilacs this year.
There are buds like crazy.
Awesome. So anything that blooms after July 1st, the summer blooming things, you can still go in there right now and you can still do your pruning without affecting the flowering because they'll be blooming on the growth that they make in April, May, June.
We had a mild winter and a pretty warm spring so far. Yes. That bodes well for people who are planters, right? That gives them a longer season to plant.
Well, actually, when that got really, really warm in February, that was pretty scary because things, bulbs started coming out of the ground.
It psyched the plants out.
It really psyched the plants out. And so I'm really glad that it's gotten cool again. And now it seems like things are, forsythia, for example, seems to be blooming more on time and on target where it should be, which is great.
That's the first thing I see is the forsythia bushes. We have one, but all over the neighborhood. It's the bright golden yellow that you see. Mm-hmm. That's the first to bloom. And then I got to be honest with you, after the flowers come, it's just an ugly, stupid green bush.
Well, we prefer to think
Tony,
of it
Tony, you're offended,
as...
aren't you? I would be.
Come on. It does be. All its pizzazz,
we
and then it's
done.
We prefer
to think of it, well, I personally prefer to think of it as kind of a one-trick pony.
Oh. Okay.
But, it has functioned the rest of the year. It's a rapid-growing screening shrub.
It's nice because if you don't like your neighbors.
Right.
Fortunately, I do.
Right. Is that right? Does that shield?
Typically, there are dwarf varieties now, but typically that grows 5 to 7 feet tall and anywhere from 3 to 7 feet wide.
Wow.
But you can cut that back to the ground after it blooms, and that's so rapid it'll come back 4 or 5 feet in 1 year. So it's a value screening shrub.
All right.
Yeah.
It's not
that's
that
the
ugly.
Right way to say it. Tony, will you be accepting phone calls if people have questions or comments?
I would love to.
You can call Tony if you have a question or a comment at 312-981-7200. That's our phone number. That's our text line. And I don't think you've ever been stumped.
Oh,
have
don't
you?
Say, don't
I don't
say
think,
that.
No,
don't
is that jinxing
that.
It? All right.
Yes, please.
Tony's
don't
often stumped. So if you have a question you might want an answer to, but you don't care,
best, yes.
Give us a call or a text.
Is anyone calling in?
Yeah, every line is full. As soon as you come by the building, Tony, people start calling. Tony Fulmer is here, the chief horticulturist at the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette, right across from the Panda Express. Treat yourself to some orange chicken and then go
and
say
then
hi to Tony.
Get a mock orange tree.
Yeah, it all
shrub.
Ties in.
Yeah.
Shrub, sorry. He's the expert, not me. So, Kathleen, you have a question for Tony Fulmer.
I do. Hi, Wendy, Steve, Bill, and Tony.
Hello.
I have two questions on hydrangea.
Okay.
First of all, you just spoke of it, when to trim them. I have not cut mine back. They are just all the dead winter stuff. Is it okay to do it now, to cut them down? And how far?
It always scares me when you say cut them down. That sounds like going right back to the ground. Do you know the name or the type of the varieties that you have?
I have two different types. This one is our Annabelle.
Okay. Annabelle, you can do whatever you want. You can cut it back 6 inches or a foot or 2 feet, or you can cut it within 6 inches of the ground. I would tend to, if it's a mature plant, I would generally not cut it back more than about 24 to 30 inches.
Now?
Okay.
Now, if you cut it to the ground, it's still going to...
It'll just, if you do a hard prune, what we call a hard prune like that, it'll be a shorter plant and it will bloom later in the season. And for that reason, and also if you cut it back all the way to the ground, you tend to have weaker stems, and I think they don't support the flowers as well during the summer.
They're loppy.
So,
and what about a limelight?
Limelight very lightly. Very, very lightly. Okay. You take off last year's flowers and not more than probably 25 to 30% of the rest of the top of the plant.
I made a mistake about 5-6 years ago. I did a mass planting of Annabelles, and last year they just didn't do anything because they were too close together. Can I dig those up and move them?
Sure, right now. But,
you
probably want a carb load before that. Because going to be like digging up a tree. If those are 3 or 4 years old, that's going to be a big, big root system. But you want to do it immediately, but while they're still dormant. So if you're going to move them, now's the time to do it as soon as possible.
Oh,
good
thank
luck,
you
Kathleen.
Very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye bye.
All right, Sue has a question. Bill, you always look shocked when Tony...
I'm amazed, because she was just saying words, and you, whatever she said, what about Annabelle's, 3 weeks? What about Limelight, 6 minutes? What about Dibby-Doo's, 6
Horticulture is a first language, I guess. I don't know.
It's amazing.
All right, Sue, you have a question for Tony Fulmer. He's the best.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, Tony. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
I have a raised bed that is elevated on legs, so it's about waist high, 2 feet by 4 feet.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I grew tomatoes in it the first year I had it. They did wonderful. The second year was last year. I put compost and fertilizer in with them. It was like they never grew. And somebody told me it was because I reused the dirt that the tomatoes had grown in the previous year. And that you couldn't do that. Is that true?
You can do anything. My personal preference is whenever I do things in a container, and basically what you're talking about, even though it's a raised bed, it's still a container. And when you put an artificial, I assume you put an artificial mix in there. You didn't put topsoil in there, right?
No. I did like a Miracle-Grow with the water retention.
And how deep is the bed?
I would say they're probably 10 inches.
It's pretty shallow.
I would be more tempted to, at the very least, I would replace at least half of that. And the thing you have to remember is from 1 year to the next, a vegetable gardening is a little bit like farming. And a lot of times your results are based on what the weather is like. And so the weather in 2015 the spring was different than 2016. And the important thing to remember is that tomatoes are very heavy feeders. And they like heat, and when it gets hot, they never want to wilt. You want to keep the even moisture on those all the time.
Okay. Okay.
And
thank you.
Thank you, Sue. And don't do what I do. I think you told me last year, I wait till they get a little dry, and then I completely soak them for a long period of time.
Wilting is probably not the best indicator. You don't want that to be your indicator every time of when to water. You always, at the very worst, you want to catch it right before the plant wilts.
So a little bit every day.
No. With watering, it's always better. It's better to water deeply and infrequently than just to sprinkle the top and do that on a daily basis.
Look at him.
So in containers, you want to water through so that water is coming out the bottom of the drainage hole. That's the only way to know that you've thoroughly moistened the whole soil ball, and that way you'll get roots developing all the way to the bottom of the container.
Tony, sometimes my wife will go away for a couple of days at a time, sometimes months, sometimes years. And she always says, I need you to water the plants while I'm gone. So do I want to water the plant itself or the soil that the plant is resting in?
You want to water the soil.
Yeah. All right.
Water the soil.
That explains a lot.
No syringing or bathing the leaves.
Hit the dirt.
Roots.
All right.
And I don't do tomatoes in a container, so just soak the ground wet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And less frequently and more deep soaking.
Yeah. Whenever you water anything in a pot, when you decide that you need to water it, you should always water thoroughly enough that water is draining out the bottom, because this business of just dampening the top, plants are lazy and they'll tend to respond to that by producing a root system that's just at the top.
Tony, I'm sorry. Just wanted to say, when the caller suggested that they were using Miracle-Grow, you winced a little bit. You got a little bit of I don't know if that's a good idea.
I was just trying to figure out where she was going with what kind of soil, because one of the biggest mistakes that people make is they try and cut corners and they buy bagged topsoil and put that in containers, and you are doomed for failure with that, because it will not drain. And you start watering that every day or every other day, and your plants are going to sit, and you can't get good plants out of a pot, a container full of topsoil.
Oh, right.
But always buy potting soil.
But if you're not having it in a pot and it's just your garden on the side of your house, that you can use topsoil, correct?
Of course, yeah. Okay. And to me, that would just be, you're leveling out a grade, maybe if you have little holes or little indentations, right?
Yeah.
Right.
All right, Susie has a question. More dirt questions. We like playing in the dirt, evidently. Susie?
Hi, good morning. I may be following up on Sue's question, because I also do a raised bed planter, and I put lettuces and, parsley and a couple of
smaller
tomatoes in there.
Yes.
Yeah. And my question was maybe similar to hers, in that, do I remove all that dirt? Or did I hear you say correctly you can remove about half of it and then add in more potting soil so that it sort of freshens it up?
Yes. I guess that would be, to me, that would be about the minimum. It depends upon what the product is that you used. There are a lot of mixes now that are specifically for raised beds, and those are complete. And those you really don't have to do a replacement on. You might just have to add a little bit if they've settled a little bit. But if you're using standard potting soils that are peat or bark based, I would tend to replace at least half of that.
Okay. And my follow-up very quickly is you mentioned planting arugula and a couple of lettuces when the soil temperature is in the 50s to 60s.
Or below. Those two can be below 50.
Below.
Uh-huh.
Okay. How do you harvest those to keep them growing? What's the best way?
Well, for example, on the lettuces, you know, are you doing a leaf lettuce? Or are you doing a head lettuce?
I did a red leaf, and I did a red leaf. I did an arugula last year and something else. I can't remember.
Okay, arugula, I have never grown that, so I can't say on that. But on the lettuces, you know, that's a matter of harvesting outside leaves.
Okay, so you don't cut it across.
I do, and then I have no more lettuce. It's like I have one crop, and that's it.
Exactly, yeah. So that's why I ask whether you have a leaf lettuce or a head lettuce. So if you have a leaf, it's outer edges. You keep that center growing.
All right, good luck to you, Susie. Somebody wants to prune a red twig dogwood to even it up height-wise with its partner on the other end of the house. Can they do that now?
Can do that now, absolutely, yes.
Eating my roses. Their leaves were eaten by something. Also noticed lots of my neighbors had the same issues. Any clues?
Depends upon the time of year, but that's probably rabbits. Surprisingly, rabbits will eat rose leaves.
Really?
Especially early in the season when good greens are not available.
Yeah.
With the market.
Yeah.
And finally, what is the best bush for growing fast to line your property, help block wind and neighbors, anything except arborvitae? I can never say
arborvitae.
That.
Well, if you don't want an evergreen, if you want something deciduous, it depends upon how tall you want it to be. Probably a viburnum. But again, we need to know how much sun and how much shade you get, whether you want a formal look, how much you want to prune, that sort of thing. They can call me.
Okay, how do they reach you?
847-256-0561, extension 220, and leave a voicemail for me, and I'll call you back.
847-256-0561, extension
0560.
0560,
yeah.
Extension
0561. I'm sorry, I'm blanking here. I was thinking of my extension, and extension 220.
All right, we'll
so
do that again.
256-0561,
847-256-0561,
extension 220, and I will call them back.
How about a website?
What a great finale, yeah.
How about a website?
www.chaletnursery.com. Tony. Tony will never be back again.
No!
And please, can I just throw this in too? Please go to WGNradio.com/contest. Look for the Chalet Nursery in Wilmette contest, celebrating 100 years as a family-owned business. You can enter to win a $500 gift card from Chalet Nursery and a private one-hour consultation with this guy right here, Chief Horticulturist Tony Fulmer. You can create your own sentimental garden. Thank you so much.
My pleasure as always.
Bye, Tony. Have a good weekend.
Okay.
It's Tony Fulmer,
thank
everybody.
You.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.